Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 19. Hope your day started well. You're listening, of course, to SEN Summer Breakfast. Great to have your company over the course of the next 3 hours, where I reckon we've got a pretty decent show in store for you. All thanks to McCafe, our official coffee partner today. BP, Brett Phillips with all things tennis, Nick Kyrgios through, Alex de Minaur through, and plenty of other results to get through, and the events of John Cain Arena. Kyrgios Court, crazy scenes last night. Opus coach Sandy Brondello this week picked a group of informed WNBL stars for a training camp ahead of next month's FIBA World Cup qualifiers in Serbia. Sammy Whitcomb of the Perth Lynx was one of those selections, and we'll catch up with her later on this morning. The Opals actually will be the first Aussie sporting team to travel to Serbia in the wake of Novak Djokovic's deportation. Aussie bowler Megan Shute ahead of the Women's Ashes series, which starts at the Adelaide Oval tomorrow. It's a 7-match multi-format series that has a lot of anticipation about it. So we'll catch up with Megan Shute at about 8:40 this morning. As always, though, all of your calls on the ENS open line, 1300 736 736. And texts on the Temper text machine, 0433 98 11 16. As I ask somewhat cautiously, are you there, Josh Jenkins?
Can you hear me back?
Yes, Sam. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. He's here. Good. Nothing like a few IT issues just to wake one up in the morning first thing.
Oh, I had me. It was 5:56. I hadn't really heard from anyone. The old codec has been connecting into the studio with no problems on two or three occasions. And during my COVID siesta, I thought, I'm going to try and scratch out one more day on the codec. And the codec doesn't want to come to the party. So, good times.
This, of course, is the codec unit that you stole from a hard-working community country radio station.
Yeah, well, they'll get it back now because it doesn't work anymore.
Where is perched up there? What do you got next to you, by the way? What is that thing? I'm speaking to you on the jits. Who is that?
Emma Wiggle.
Oh, of course it is.
Emma Wiggle, who recently retired, I believe.
Big news, she did indeed. Most popular wiggle out there.
She needs the next 40 years of her life to count how much money she's got because the wiggles do okay for themselves, Sam.
So you're on the jitsi because you've got another day at the Cattery today, do you not?
I do, yeah. They've actually asked me back for a second day, so that can
this is going well.
What's that?
This is going well.
Well, I mean, they've asked me back, so, you know, if it was that bad, I wouldn't be back, would I? So
that's good.
Looking forward to getting back there and seeing what's what and just continue. We only had three bodies the other day. COVID, there were no ruckmen. I only had three boys. I had a nice, big, expansive drill ready for them. Going to knock their socks off, and then they said, yeah, you've only got three players to work with. So straight away, I've had to join in. First up, first contest, got the sneakers on, fell straight on the face.
What?
Face first, mate. Had the sneakers on, tried to do a bit of wrestling with Big Asava, and I went down. I went over. I tipped over.
And your comments on young De Conning just were used far and wide there. When I went back and had a listen to what you actually said about him, you said that after 30 or 40 games that Harry Taylor won't even be missed and Lockie Henderson won't even be missed in the back half. How did they would have loved those comments?
Well, Lockie's up in Queensland, I believe. I did have to cross paths with Harry on Monday because he's back at the club in a strength and conditioning role, but he's not a consumer of traditional media, Sam. So I don't think
you're safe.
He will. He's not a traditional unit, Big Harry, as most of us would well know, especially me, the recipient of some ham. But yeah, he won't hear those comments. But I meant them. I he's got a lot of work to do, young Sam. But I did mean them.
Okay, all right. I thought, yeah, we might have had another handshake moment of awkwardness there, but glad to hear we don't. Hey, Victoria has declared, this is a serious issue, a code brown emergency. The state's hospital system is under enormous pressure at the moment, JJ, obviously due to COVID hospitalisation. So tens of thousands of health workers and from private hospitals will be made available to cover the shortages in public hospitals. So that's around 57,000 nurses, more than 100,000 staff across the country available for state governments to bring into publicly run hospitals. That's the essence of the system. And leave is being cancelled in some cases as well, so people can't go away on holidays that they've had scheduled. So, look, you tip your lid, don't you, to our health workers who go above and beyond and have done for the last couple of years. Extraordinary amount of work they do. Mm. But why is it a code brown? What's with the colour? Of all the colours they could pick, why do they have to pick brown?
Okay, so I was just about to say, we like to have a little bit of fun to lead off the show, and I thought, oh, we're going serious, and it is very serious, and then you're enamored with the colour.
Well, I know it's a mess, but brown of all the colours?
What would you like it to be? Oh,
there's so many different colours. Brown is just such a shocking colour, is it not?
Indigo. You want an indigo or a velvet?
Code indigo. Code aqua.
Code peach.
Code mauve. Got a nice ring to it. Code purple.
But you need it to sound a little bit ugly and worrying, don't you?
Yeah, perhaps. But I mean,
we can go with
nothing compares to code red. Code brown. I was reading it last night and I'm thinking, code brown. What's going
on? In all seriousness, it is a very worrying situation. But I'm a code brown's a strange choice, but maybe all the other main colours, primary colours were taken up.
Maybe they were. Hey, when Nick Kyrgios is good, he's oh so good. And we're gonna talk a little bit about Nick this morning, of course. When he's bad, well, we know the rest. And last night, thankfully, it was the former, a first-round demolition of Liam Brody of the UK. Absolute circus on, it's John Cain Arena in name, and it's got a reputation that precedes it, but it's becoming Kyrgios Quarter. How was the atmosphere down there? Now, he sent down a rocket of a serve at one stage at 220 kilometres an hour, JJ, and he followed that up with the sneakiest tweener. The sneakiest tweener serve you'll ever see. Won the point. Crowd go nuts. There was beer sipping, there was trick shots, there was at a completely wildly unpredictable post-match interview as well. I mean, it's a unique stadium, this one. It's obviously open to ground pass holders and has been down the years. It's one that our man absolutely loves, obviously. He's helped create the crazy scenes we see in there. They go off their heads in there yesterday. They did for Andy Murray as well in the match preceding Nick Kyrgios's his first win in Australia since 2017, Andy Murray. So here's a story as well. But did you see the Ronaldo Sue has arrived at Melbourne Park? Everyone thought it was booing.
The Sue, yes. Sue. There's been a bit of back and forth about whether it's been booing or what it actually is, suing. So you're probably going to have to inform a few of the listeners. You're going to have to inform me what is actually going on here.
I think it started at Real Madrid for Cristiano Ronaldo, that when he scored a goal, you know, the big arms out, the big jump, the celebration. It started off as C, which is obviously yes. Yeah. But then it somehow morphed with the help of the crowd stadiums across the globe to be more of a Sue. So they've just taken it up at Melbourne Park, right. And they did it for Nick Kyrgios. I said, I thought they were going to do it for 10 minutes. They did it for 2.5 hours. Just
right.
Every
so they
point.
Just, they just keep punching out the Sues.
Sue. They were doing it for Andy Murray as well. He thought he was being booed for a time. And poor old Liam Brody, I mean, spare a thought for him. He was dismissed in straight sets. He said, everyone's telling me, oh, you'll really enjoy it out there at John Cain. It's going to be amazing. He said, but I thought it was absolutely awful. He said, I'm getting sledged from the sidelines. I don't pick it up on the microphones. He said, I was booed coming out, booed leaving, sledged in between. He had a horrible time out there.
Poor Liam Brody, yeah. Brody, we thought, some of us in the SEN Summer Breakfast crew thought Liam Brody would win that match. But oh, tell you what, King Kyrgios just dispatched him.
Oh, yeah, we were questioning the odds, but the market was absolutely spot on.
I wouldn't say we.
You?
No.
And?
Out the back, look through the glass.
Yes, his hand's up. I hope he's still got some rent.
Anything wrong?
I hope he's still got his rent money to pay in the next installment, old Treadoss, because he was talking up Efren from the UK to get it done. It was only ranking-wise, 13 spots difference, I think, but obviously Nick Kyrgios's inactivity hasn't played a competitive match since September, coming off the back of COVID as well. Geez, it was a good performance.
Hey, maybe Trent can butter up and second up syndrome. That's often an issue when you've had a long layoff. You're feeling fresh, first time back on the court.
Wow.
And then you have a little bit of soreness, second up syndrome, maybe.
Well, I hope not, because you know who he's got next. He's got a very tough ass next. Daniil Medvedev up next.
Okay.
Now,
I don't think the second up syndrome will be the issue in that game.
One of the tournament favourites he is, of course. Now, here's the thing, JJ. We might need to try to create, we'll do our own little bit here at SEN to create a bit of a groundswell of support for having this match played on Kyrgios Court, because, of course, it's going to be on Rod Laver. Can we get it onto Kyrgios Court to just try to put Daniil Medvedev under a little bit of pressure? Davis Cup style, if you like. Let's get it as loud and as raucous as we possibly can in there.
Why can't we get some of the Suis inside? Why do we have to take the... Why do we have to take the game to the court? Why can't we take the folk inside?
No, this is a court for the people, John Cain. Plus, it's 50% restrictions inside.
Yeah,
so
true,
we need them on John Cain. We need the ground pass holders to get in there. And I think it's 50% in John Cain as well. But at least it's open to ground pass holders. Hey, Chris in the CBDs text in, JJ. Kyrgios was at his entertaining best last night. Awesome crowd support for him and Andy Murray. Kyrgios unlucky. He has to play Medvedev in the second round. But that's what happens when you... when you have the ranking that you do and the seating that you do coming in. Nick Kyrgios post-match celebration finished with a Cristiano Ronaldo goal-scoring signature pose. He was all with the crowd last night. His serve was awesome, moved brilliantly, stroke-making elite, and he just had fun. He did. That's when he's great to watch. And that tweener serve, the crowd then was begging for old mate Liam to do the same thing, and the two of them were having a good laugh together. So there were some nice moments out there at John Cain Arena last night. Hey, the English have got themselves into a bit of a sticky one, the cricket team, and not for the first time, JJ.
I was going to say, what, you've only just noticed?
So the English and Wales cricket boards are investigating. That party down at Hobart, Salamanca, that we spoke about this time yesterday, ended up raging until 6 a.m. at the Crown Plaza Hotel. When I say raging, it wasn't raging at all. They were sitting around having a couple of quiet beers out on the balcony.
Oh, yeah, of course they were.
No, they honestly were, and we know that for a fact because video has emerged, and that's part of the problem for the English. Now, police were called. There was a disturbance. Loud music was being played, to be honest. There was only half a dozen players up there. So the police attended, as they do, and they quietly asked the players to leave. The players said, fine. I mean, Nathan Lyon was still in his whites, and Travis Edwards as well. So they've left without any issue. Joe Root was up there. Jimmy Anderson was up there. But it was filmed, allegedly, by the English assistant coach Graham Thorpe and somehow found its way from Graham Thorpe's phone onto the internet. Now, he's facing the sack off the back of that. Highly embarrassing for England off the back of a... How's the optics on this back home in the old dart? You lose the series 4-0. A newspaper report's come out saying that bubble life has led to a drinking culture within the team and the squad. And then the day after you get hammered in the final test series... Here are your players drinking until 6:30 in the morning with the opposition, and the vision's found its way onto the net.
Look, let's unpack that. Drinking, it's not a drinking culture in cricket, but it's a sport that lends itself to you being able to have a drink more often and more frequently than most other sports, right? That's fair enough, isn't it?
Get on the beers.
Of course it is.
In terms of a drinking culture, quote unquote, I wouldn't really agree with that. The bit that is an issue is how the video has found its way into the public domain. Now,
that's an issue. Yeah,
Mr. Thorpe will have some questions to answer in that regard.
Don't know how that's happened, but no, they're saying, and we're not there, so it's impossible for us to know. We're not in the squad, but they're saying that the bubble life and that sporting team has spent, I mean, perhaps more than any other team across the globe in the last year, especially in restricted situations where they're prevented from doing the things they're able to do. Now, it wasn't a hard lockdown for the team, but their movements were restricted. So they're saying that's led to perhaps a rise in, and perhaps a loosening of the rules, their own rules and their own standards when it comes to the odd beverage. But anyway, they're entitled to let their hair down at the end of the series, surely. But
over the top, isn't it?
The way that this vision's found its way onto the internet is an issue for Graham Thorpe, as you mentioned, and the optics of it aren't fantastic back there in the UK. So we'll see how that transpires. Andy Murray, I'll mention as well. We'll talk about him as well with BP because that is a great story. Hadn't won down here since 2017. Five-set win for him in the end. Great atmosphere at John Cain Arena. So we'll get to Brett Phillips shortly. We've got Sammy Wickham coming up as well. Opal 16 16-player squad was announced yesterday ahead of that FIBA World Cup in Serbia, which will be interesting. And the Women's Ashes gets underway tomorrow at the Adelaide Oval. We'll catch up with Aussie bowler Megan Shute as well. Give us a call, 1300 736 736, on the ENS open line, the Temper text machine ticking along, 0433 98 11 16. We're here for Kogan, no annual fees, tantalising rewards and just great value. And of course, our old mates at Garage Doors Redefined, 4ddoors.com.au.
Kogan, make the switch to a great value credit card. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer breakfast on SEN.
Gee whiz, no one's saying lock up the Aussies and the English players and throw away the key. A few people taking the P155 off the temper text here, JJ. No one's saying that. We're certainly not. In fact, when you watch the... Turn it up. When you watch the vision, it's not a big deal at all, but... It's the vision that's made its way onto the internet that is being investigated by the ECB. They don't like the look of that. They say that's embarrassing, and that's where it's at. Don't shoot the messenger, as they say in the classics.
Well, I tried to stick up for them and say that the only thing is when you say, you know, such and such was drinking until 5 or 6 or 7 in the morning, that doesn't necessarily lend itself to thinking that they were just having a few quiet sherbets, does it?
No, perhaps not. Hey, the Melbourne Stars, they missed out on the Big Bash finals. That was confirmed last night after the Hobart Hurricanes held off the Renegades. Jeez, I know we've spoken about the crowds at these Big Bash games, but this one was a couple of hundred there, I reckon. The Stars needed the Hurricanes to lose that match to set up a cutthroat, well, the game's tonight between the pair for a spot in the knockout phase. That'll now be a dead rubber between the Stars and the Hurricanes. So the Gades fell 8 runs short. Hobart posted 5 for 182. I don't know if you saw any of this, JJ. Sean Marsh and Aaron Finch put on 101 for the second wicket. It was looking like a partnership was going to go all the way, but Marsh was caught in the 15th over. They then needed at one stage 18 runs off 12 balls to win, but Finch and John O'Merlo were caught off consecutive balls. So 15 off the last over, too many for the Renegades, and their miserable season just peters out, and the Stars are going to miss finals after a season that we spoke to Marcus Stoinis yesterday, just completely potholed by injury and COVID and any other manner of bad luck he can throw into the mix.
Another fantastic crowd too at the BBL, Sam.
Yeah, well, as I say, I reckon looking at it, when the camera panned out, there would have been, geez, maybe a couple of hundred, I reckon, tops. It was terrible. Yeah, it really was. But anyway, we've spoken enough about that. It's not a bashing. Yeah. There's a lot of COVID conservatism involved in that as well, which you can understand. Hey, Sam Stosur won yesterday. Looking forward to chatting with BP on this. Given a wild card into the Open, it's a farewell tournament. Although she was thrown, we're told, this curveball in her post-match press conference. Let's have a listen.
Too soon to start speculating at all Australian finals, Sam. You and Ash.
Put it on the back page.
Too soon to talk about the final.
Who was that goose?
I don't know.
That wasn't you, was it?
That was not me. No, that was not me.
Thought the Chief might have been back prowling the press conferences.
No. That will not be happening anytime soon. As I said to you yesterday, JJ, I'm hosting with you. BBL has cooked the Golden Goose. Too many games, simple as that. Now, a lot of texts coming through on Jordan DeGoey, whose case is due to be heard in a New York court this morning, our time. So we'll do our best to keep across of that. We're not sure exactly what time that's happening. I think it was supposed to be in the window of between now and 8 to 9 a.m. So he's obviously checking in remotely from here. He's been training in isolation. He's been banned from training at Collingwood, where Scotty Pendlebury returned to training too, by the way.
Oh, you have been busy.
Off the back of that fracture, which is good to see for the Collingwood veteran and captain. But yeah, Jordan DeGoey, so 4 charges, the forcible touching one dropped. So we'll see what happens today, because a decision is set to be made. It was adjourned until the 18th of January over there in the US. We'll see, JJ.
You have been busy, haven't you?
I think he's going to be a fine, do we think? We're wildly speculating here.
Well, yeah. Well, let's not really concern us. I mean, if you went to jail, that'd be something for us to worry about. But say that all this legal stuff does sort of just filter off, you know, just fizzle out a little bit, or he has to pay a fine or whatever. What's the line of sight, or what's your view on the Collingwood welcoming him back into the fray pretty quickly, or what's
they have
what
to,
is
don't
that
they?
Status?
No, they have for? To. If he's exonerated and cleared in
what
a court.
If he's not?
Oh, well, then that's a different conversation. Yeah, that's a very different conversation, isn't it?
But what if it's what I'm trying to say is if there's a level of guilt there, but not, you know, not in a serious way. For, you know, I don't want to say that it's not a serious thing that's happened, because I actually don't know a lot about it. But is there still a level? Is there still an expectation, or from your point of view, is there an expectation that he'll definitely be at Collingwood at some stage in 2022?
I would have thought that's likely this year, but then post that, without knowing what's going to happen in the courtroom, I think is well and truly questions need to be asked there. I mean, last year of his contract, we don't know what conversation needs to take place. That's a whole of club decision. That's board, that's football department, that's
not,
you know,
great
management.
Timing for Jordan.
Shocking
his manager
timing.
Has he got a manager? He doesn't have a manager, does he?
Yeah, it's his brother-in-law is his manager.
So he doesn't have a manager.
Well, he's being represented, shall we say. So anyway, we'll see. It's never good timing for something like this.
No,
especially
no,
at Collingwood
not.
When they're trying to drive that cultural change. They've got a new president. They've got a new coach. A big turnover down there.